present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Matthew Scott, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome. I'm often asked if the laughter on this programme is genuine. And I'd like to assure everyone that it isn't canned, which is more than I can say for our panellists, who are Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor on my right. Barry Cryer and Graham Garden on my left. And we start with the game that's wittily entitled Plots in 15 Seconds. In this round, our team members attempt to convey for us in exciting detail the plots of major works. And to make sure the round doesn't go on too long, I'm setting a time limit for each plot of 15 seconds. We're going to start with you, Barry Cryer. In 15 seconds, will you please outline the plot of Gone with the Wind?
La da da da. I love you, Ashley. I can never love you, Scarl, as sure as I'm a southern gentleman. You all. Da 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 da.
Scarlet, I'm butler.
Oh, I could never pass the butler.
Plug, plug.
That's a great place, Scarlet.
Ta da da da. Loudy, loudy, Miss Scarlet.
Your voice has changed, Rhett.
It's that Ken Livingstone putting the Rhetts up again. I'll marry cotton picking Melanie, you all. Oh, Ashley, I'm as sick as a parrot. I'm off with Rhett Butler, you all cotton picking. La da da da.
Oh, Atlanta's on fire.
Da 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 da. And there's a civil war. Bang bang.
North 2, South 1 after extra time. Personally, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Well, there's always tomorrow. Perhaps the BBC will buy this cobblers for £4 million.
The end.
Let me just work this out. We have 3 seconds time faults as we go on to Tim Brooke Taylor. And Tim, in 15 seconds, I want you likewise to outline the plot of This Is Your Life.
Innocent man tries to post a letter. Letterbox says, you thought you were going to post a letter and have a quiet night with your feet up, but this is your life. This is your family, a wife who's got a hairstyle that looks as if it's been sculpted for the evening. Children who can't be with us this evening, but they were filmed earlier today. Hello, Daddy, I'm pretending to be a teabag. Rush on mother and hope to God she doesn't say you're a mean, ungrateful little toad like she did in the dress rehearsal. Who's this? Ying dong, ying dong. Ah, it's Spike Milligan. You've never met him, but you used to listen to the Goon Show. And we like a celebrity on the show. Your sister tells the funny story about the boy Jelly Babies. Message from the brother you haven't seen for 20 years in Australia. Unfortunately, can't be with us tonight. 3 school friends wearing suits for the first time in their lives and looking like an ad for a mail order firm. Time for another celebrity. Surprise, surprise, your brother in Australia is here. In fact, the entire population of Australia has been flown over. Tears, if that isn't enough, here are your children skipping on. More tears, end of programme. Eamon stops sweating for another week.
Well done, Tim. How you got all that in 15 seconds, I don't know. Can we go on to Graham Garden? Graham, in 15 seconds, will you outline the plot of The Borgias?
Well, there's this chap who's called Borgia, you see, and he is crowned Pope, and he gets very excited and goes around shouting, "I am up," he says. And he says, "I am Alexander the Thickest." And to prove it, he jumps into bed with his daughter. Meanwhile, his son, Cesare, or Cesare, or Cesare, or Cesare, depending on who's talking to him at the time, is running around. He's running around, killing people all over the place and doing John Cleese impersonations, and eventually ends up getting his own series, which is called Faulty Vaticans. That's the end.
No? Willie Rushton, in 15 seconds, I want you to outline the plot of Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Ah. Lord Chatterley, severe war wound, snip snip, Bob's your auntie. Lady Chatterley, therefore deeply frustrated, buckets of cold water, walks in the woods. One day in the woods. Gamekeeper Mellors hears her plaintive song, asks her to watch him at work. She says, "Oh, so you are a pheasant plucker." Mellor picks up bird. "Let me give you one, my lady." Then follows 212 pages of daisy chains, rudery and heavy breathing, and the fruit of their loins is a fat penguin whose case came up 23 years ago, I think.
We go on to the point where I give the teams the advance notice of the late arrivals that they'll be announcing later in the programme, and this week I'm asking them to announce the late arrivals at the Holidaymakers' Ball. The Holidaymakers' Ball, teams. And we go on to sound charades.
Well, there you go.
And this one demonstrates the versatility of our teams as they give us in turn a charade of a play or a film or a book or whatever, and the other team has to guess what it is. Tim and Willie, you're going to go first. We have our computerized board here in the studio, which you can probably hear creaking. And here's a mystery voice to tell you the answer at home.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And will you now tell the other team whether it's a play, a film, a book, or whatever?
It's a film. Five words.
Five-word film.
All to be done at once. Starting...
Right. Now. Ish. That certainly has been some flood.
Some flood.
It's quite extraordinary. I mean, it's down there somewhere, but one can't see it, of course, for water, even though one is standing, in fact, on the top of Mount Ararat.
Yes. Good Lord, yes, the water's coming over the top of my wellies, in fact. Ah, I think I'll take this away with me.
I don't know why you put that in, I'd finished.
Had you?
An interesting addendum to the plot.
Yeah, yeah. It was a rider, as you might say.
Have you finished?
Yes.
Barry and Graham, they've finished.
You have to guess that, though.
Well, the audience didn't think much of it.
Much of the audience.
Five words.
Graham Garden speaking.
Five words. And a film.
Looking for Something in the Water.
That's never been a film called that. I've been to the cinema a number of times, and Looking for Something in the Water has never been to our local Odeon. Look at it that way. Or indeed the Rex.
Been to your local doctor.
My friend Flipper. Oh, no, that's only three words.
The Wonderful World of Jacques Cousteau. An ark. Something to do with an ark. Oh, must be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Waders of the Lost Ark. Speech defect, perfectly acceptable.
Well done, Barry and Graham. You guessed that one in 1 minute, 17 seconds. And it's now your turn to do a charade. It's going up on the board for our studio audience here, and here it is for those of you listening at home.
42nd Street. 42nd Street.
Right, Barry and Graham, is it a film, a play, or what?
It's a film and
a theatrical piece.
And it's two or three words, depending on how you write it.
Thanks.
And we're doing it all of a piece.
My word, this is a very short street.
It is. It's a very short street. Do you know it only takes 2/3 of a minute to walk from one end to the other? Good Lord. That's extraordinary, isn't it?
And with great brilliance, Tim and Willie have got that one in 15 seconds, putting them temporarily in the lead. Very good. And we go on to the round where each team has to improvise a calypso, with members of the team taking alternate lines. And assistance is, of course, provided by Matthew Scott at the piano. And Barry and Graham, will you give Tim and Willie their subject first?
The Barbara Woodhouse calypso.
Okay. Barbara Woodhouse calypso.
Barbara Woodhouse was deeply shocked
when I took her my dog, which had four legs cocked.
She told me to sit.
At least that's what I think she said.
But away I goes.
Where would you like Barbara Woodhouse to blow up your nose?
I'll give you 4 marks for that. And Tim and Willie, give Barry and Graham their subject, please.
It's the OTT.
OTT.
Television program.
Matthew Scott?
Well, the other night I was watching TV.
I saw something surprising on OTT.
My girlfriend said, let's do that at home, my dear.
And I tell you that custard gets everywhere.
Okay, 4 marks for you too. Oh, and let's go on. We're going to play now that popular game, Mornington Crescent. Ah. As you know, in the past weeks, we've had one or two variations on this game, and some listeners have written in asking us to play a straightforward game. There are purists in this field, as indeed there are everywhere else, and they want to hear an ordinary, straight-ahead Mornington Crescent game. So, teams, we are going to apply one special rule, and this will be Crabbit's rule, which you know, but the audience don't. So I'll tell you, the Crabbit's rule means that northward moves can be diverted diagonally if they're shown to be within one horizontal move of a river or waterway.
Yes, Jim. We always have trouble over the Serpentine. Have we decided on that? Is that
yes. There wasn't a ruling on that, was there?
No,
really?
This time, all challenges in that department will be referred to the Department of the Environment's classified list of metropolitan rivers and waterways.
So we're not really allowed to pass water in this round, are we?
Or even approach it. Okay, I think we'll start with you as you raise that point, Tim. Let's start with you.
Lonsdale Road. W2.
Uxbridge Road.
Oh. Marylebone High Street.
Why don't you say Argyle Street?
No, I wouldn't say Argyle Street. I'll say Totteridge.
Should have said Argyle Street. Mornington Crescent.
What a cunning bluff, Jim.
I fell right into it.
Yes, tremendously.
Grab it. Wait a minute. Argyle Street.
I should have. Isn't that right? Yes.
Oh, well, sorry, partner.
It's all right.
No, I didn't see it then.
What did he say?
Totteridge.
Totteridge. Totteridge.
Yeah. He should have said Argyle Street then.
And you played Mornington Crescent right after then?
Yes, he can. Well, the two T's. Doesn't that count? Yes, as long as there's a double letter, surely. Grabbits we're playing.
I think we're going to have to put this point to the audience.
The two L's in our goal.
To get our studio audience to judge. Do you think Tim Brooke-Taylor wins the point there or not?
No.
I don't think he does either. Tim, you'll have to make an alternative move.
It's blocked both ways.
Say Argyle Street.
No, because that really does. Argyle Street. If he's not allowed that, he'd say Mornington Crescent.
All right.
St. John's Wood High Street.
Mornington Crescent.
I'm surprised, Tim, that you didn't invoke Crabbit's rule on that.
You just did.
Because he was very, very close.
Too late.
Can I retrospectively invoke...
Yeah, the Regent's Canal, you could have played that one and diverted him diagonally. Sent him completely off on another tack. Anyway, you didn't. One round of applause for Barry Cryer, who won that point. And the next round is called Sing-Along. In this round, each panellist has to sing along with a disc, and once the tune and the tempo have been established, the sound of the disc will disappear and the panellist will be left on his own. After an embarrassing pause, the disc will come back and the panellist scores points if he's still with it, or even in the same area. And we're going to start this round now with Graham Garden, and we have a little bit of Gilbert and Sullivan for you. So will you sing along with the Nightmare Song from Iolanthe?
When you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed by anxiety, I conceive you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. For your brain is on fire, the bedclothes conspire of usual slumber to plunder you. First the counterpane goes and uncovers your toes, then your sheet slips demurely from under you. The blanketing tickles, you feel like mixed pickles, so terribly sharp is the pricking. You're hot and you're cross and you're tumble and tossed till there's nothing twixt you and the ticking. Then the bedclothes all reach with the ground in a heap.
Yeah, well done, Graham. That was absolutely brilliant. You win this week. But we've carried on. We haven't reached the end yet. Willie, now here's an interesting thing. We're going to give you two interruptions here, so you get two chances to beat Graham Garden there.
Thank you.
And your song is from The Merry Widow. It's Velia.
Canterovilia. I need a billet haunting the woodland, enchanting the night. Villa, villa, be tender, be true.
Sing up.
Keep going.
Oh, the audience has joined in. Oh, no, I see.
Haunting the woodland.
Haunting the woodland, enchanting the night.
Speed it up.
All together.
And I...
Very good.
Well, that was pretty close on both occasions. Barry, we want you to sing along now with another Gilbert and Sullivan song from the Pirates of Penzance. I am the very model of a modern Major General.
I am the very model of a modern Major General. I'm information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fights historical. From Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news, with many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
Square
with many
of the hypotenuse.
Well, he was wrong.
That was pretty close. That was pretty close. And Tim, yours is the last one, and we have, it's the last one, too, actually, because it's the laughing song from Die Fledermaus, and we have two interruptions here, too. Here we go.
How a man like you could feel to see my blood was blue. Oh, what a gorgeous situation. What a sparkling revelation.
What a gorgeous.
Is that Tim on the record?
Tremendous, that's very good. You inch ahead now of Graham Garden in that run.
So lady in the fourth row helped me out a lot.
Then I shall have to dock you a couple of marks. Which puts you last. We go on to the next round, which is called Winking, and it's a new game. At least, I think it's called Winking. It's a simple game, so I'll explain the rules. Listen carefully, audience. We have a circle of chairs facing inwards. A team member sits on each chair except one, which is left empty. Behind each chair, including the empty one, stands a team member with his hands resting on top of the chair but not touching the team member sitting in it. The team member standing behind the empty chair starts the game by winking at one of the sitting team members who must try to leave his chair and dash to the empty one. The one standing behind him, however, must try to stop him from going by putting his hands on his shoulders. And if he does this quickly enough, he must remain where he is and wait until he's winked at again. If he manages to get away, the one who failed to keep him must then wink at someone else to fill his chair. He can gaze steadily at one part of the circle, then quickly wink in the opposite direction. He can wink almost imperceptibly. Anyway, after the sitters have been winked at, the sitters stand and wink at the standers who are now sitting.
It's called a Bakerloo line, isn't it?
Right, well, the teams have been playing that, in fact, while I've been speaking, and Tim and Willie won. So.
Well,
We have the round now called Sounds Peculiar. I'm going to play in a few bizarre sound effects, and I want you to tell me, teams, what you think they are. Starting with you, Tim Brooke Taylor. Here's your sound effect.
Magnus Pike in a china shop.
Well, we have a chance to play that again and hear whether you were right. Let's hear it again.
Noel Gordon.
Absolutely right.
Very Noel Gordon leaving Crossroads.
Yeah. Barry Cryer, here's your sound effect.
Esther Ranson cleaning her teeth.
Let's just hear that once again. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, very...
All over Desmond.
It's the scale on the teeth, too.
Oh, bonus mark to Tim Brooke Taylor. And Willie Rushton, here's your sound effect.
John Curry.
That was good. I don't know whether we can stand it, but let's hear that one again.
All together.
We'll hasten over to Graham Garden now.
This is Dolly Parton taking a deep breath.
Cyril Smith sitting down, I think.
Well, we have two answers there. Let's decide by hearing it again. Right, well, I think, Graham, you were correct there. So. Yeah. As we're nearing the end of the programme, teams, let's hear your announcements for the late arrivals at the Holiday Makers Ball, please.
It's the one I've been waiting for. It's Gertie Weekend.
Oh, there's Pa Sport and his son, Burn.
A Gertie Weekend with Brighton Pierre. From France.
What a strange coincidence. Some Asian visitors have just entered. There's Doty Weekend. Seek Sweeks Cruz and Packy Jolliday.
When he's on the cruise, he might have to Mandy lifeboats.
Oh, there's the Chinese travel agent, Lai Ing Brochure. And all the way from Bonnie, Scotland.
Ah, welcome.
Mrs. Doff and their little son, Weekend Doff.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
They may not sound interesting, but they've always been at every hotel I've ever been at.
Here come the family. Can I have a paper bag with a son, Stuart S.? Can I have a paper bag?
A couple from Sweden have had a wonderful holiday there. The Your Brown family and their daughter, My Your Brown. Sandy Shaw.
And the Orca sisters, Madge and Min.
And over there I can see just arriving Mr. and Mrs. High and their daughter, Heidi High.
Oh, and also Mr. and Mrs. Pacific and their crafty little daughter, the fly Kathy Pacific.
Oh, there's the political meeting going on in the corner. There's that Tory Molinos. And that commie Smoz.
Mr. and Mrs. Time I go on a package holiday, and their son from Sweden. Last time I go on a package holiday.
And over there, there's Sam Tropez.
From the front of Bognor, Dick Chair.
Let me say we've come to the end of this week's programme. Join us again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Matthew Scott setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.